Good morning to you. This is the voice of Master Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you on this last Lord's Day of March 2021. Next time we get together will be April. And the first weekend of April is Easter Sunday morning. And what a beautiful time of the year to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see in our world around us, everything becoming new. The little rain we just had today probably is going to help the grass to turn a little greener than it is right now. What a special time it is. You've tuned me in, by the way, of WION, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or over in the Lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome each and every one of you. You tune others to tune me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And I welcome you. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. And my website is Pastor Ken Harger. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse and click on Current Media, and the top message is the one for this morning. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of our service together today. I need to say some thank yous. So thank you, first of all, to Keon Kingsinger for picking out my music, and a big thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, for the financial support that she gives, and she lives in Orleans. A big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond for the financial support that they give, and to Shadow Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years and still attend there. Matter of fact, I need to let you know this, that on Good Friday, I'm going to be bringing the message at Shiloh Community Church at 1 o'clock. Let me say that again. Good Friday services at Shiloh Community Church at 1 o'clock, and Pastor Ken Harger will be speaking. Our normal services at Shiloh are Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45, and we have a sister church over in Greenville at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock. So whatever service you'd like to attend, we'd like to give you an invitation, but I really want to give a special invitation because I'm going to be doing a speaking at Good Friday service at 1 o'clock next Friday as we celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus and what he accomplished for each and every one of us. Well, that takes care of the things I need to take care of. Our message this morning, I finally get to speak about the good soil. We've talked about bedrock soil. That's where there's just a thin layer of soil over the rock system, and that doesn't grow very good because there's no opportunity for root. And then we talked about the stony soil, too many stones, we got to get rid of some of the stones. And then we talked about the weedy soil, and the weeds outgrow the seeds that's been sown, and we got to get rid of some weeds. But finally today, we get to talk about the good soil, and good seed being sown on good soil will produce a good crop. Well, we'll come right back and do that, but first we got to listen to a song. And this song is it's just a soften your heart. It's a little different, a rendition of a song, but it's something very special. And KN does a good job of picking out different ones, different kinds of music, and I appreciate that. So here we go. I'll be right back.
You're so proud of
Well, that's got you awake this morning, doesn't it? You'll never die. But you know what he's telling us? To soften our heart. And that's what we need to do. That soil, that good soil, needs to be softened in order to receive the seed. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. My voice is still giving me some trouble. We're hoping to have scheduled pretty soon this scope thing they're going to do. Make sure everything is okay in my throat and see what there is that needs to be corrected. But anyway, we just do the very best I can, folks. And I guess that's all we can do. But we realize that God is reminding us that we have to soften our hearts to receive the Word of God. And you know what? Ones I want to remember this morning the most is you, the listening audience. I hope you've caught that from me, that you're the reason I'm here. You're the reason I got up this morning and got all my equipment around and got ready to do the service. It's because you, the listening audience, you're my congregation this morning. Every single one of you that have tuned me in, I'm just so pleased to be able to share with you the message this morning. And as I do, I want to remember you in prayer. I want to remember any unspoken requests that you might have. I want to remember you and your family. So let's just bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come to you. And Father, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. Once again, I'm praying that you would meet their every need according to your will. I want them to know that somebody is praying for them and somebody cares about what they're going through in their individual life. And Father, because we do care, we come to you and pray that you would meet their financial needs, their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, their family needs, their mental needs. Father, you are the God of the whole body. You created us. You tell us you made us in the image of yourself. And Father, as we come to you, we want you to meet the need of each person that is listening, and not only their need, but Father, they're concerned about their family and the things that's going on in their family. And some may have lost a loved one, and they need some special comfort this morning. Others may be going through sickness. Others may be in a nursing home. Others may be home recovering from a surgery. Whatever it is, Father, I pray you would meet their need today according to your will. And if anybody has an unspoken request from the listening audience, I pray to your Father right now, as they focus upon that unspoken request, and I'm coming to you on behalf of that request, I pray, Father, that you would reach down and meet the needs of that according to your will. And we will thank you and we will praise you for that in the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, as we gather around the Word of God, I got to tell you, I've been looking forward to sharing this message this morning because there was no harvest. What fun is it, folks, for a seed sower to sow seed when there's no harvest? He sows the seed to get a harvest. And you know, we'll be seeing the farmers in the fields very shortly. Some have already started some of the work. And they'll be sowing all kinds of seed. They'll be spreading fertilizer. They'll be using a lot of money. And the investment is for harvest. There's no sense planting seeds if you're not looking for a harvest. So the harvest is what's so beautiful. And when we come to this seed today, good seed sown on a good ground instead of a weedy, rocky, bedrock ground is going to produce a harvest. Listen to what it said. but others fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop or a harvest, some 100 times what the seed was sown, some 60, and some 30. Then God's Son, the Lord Jesus, said, "He who hath ears, let him hear." You had to have ears to listen to the bedrock soil, the rocky soil, and then the weedy soil. But now the excitement is, there's been a harvest. There's been something that is produced as a result of the seed being sown on good ground. The first thing we learn about this good soil is that it received the seed. And all the different soils, the seed came to the soil the same way. The farmer cast the seed and it fell on the soil. And we need to remember God's word is the seed. And we need to remember that God is reminding us to really listen to what he has to say, so we don't let it go in one ear and out the other ear. But we gain the realization that God is looking for a harvest from your life and my life. He wants something to happen as a result of the seed being sown on you. I like the way it is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways of the inheritance of your life from your forefathers." You know how you was living, he said, before you heard about God and the things of God. He said, "You were not redeemed by perishable things such as silver and gold, but you were redeemed or bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. He was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised this one Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope is now in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but the seed is imperishable." And he goes on to say, "through the living and abiding word of God." That word of God got into your life. And then he reminds us, you know, all flesh is like the grass or the beautiful flowers. He says the grass withereth and the flowers fall, but the word of God remains forever. And this word is good news that we preached unto you. Good soil hears the good word and responds to it by producing a crop of harvest. The beautiful thing is, it's God's word, how it goes to work in your life and in my life. We need that, folks. We need that in our lives. We need that to help us understand what it is that God is putting us through, that we might grow in the way he'd have us to. Some of the seed fell on good ground, he reminds us. This good ground just seizes the seed. The word holds on no matter what. And it sticks to the soil until a harvest is coming. You know, there's a process that goes through, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I want us to realize that God is saying that word of God needs to take hold of the heart. It needs to take hold of the life, as it does with the soil. When I was about 18 years old, my Sunday school teacher that I had really could see that there was God had his hand upon my life. And she wanted me to go to Christian youth training camp. That was over by Gull Lake. And it was a nice camp, and I had never been around that many kids. And I quit school when I was 15, and now I'm 18, so I haven't been around a whole lot of kids other than Sunday school class. And she wanted me to be around them. And, you know, one of the things that they taught me when I was there was God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Let me do that again. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That is how this good soil holds on to the word of God. We come to the place that we believe in our heart that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That gives an opportunity to produce a harvest. Something's going to grow as a result of that. And in God's word, he reminds us that's exactly the way it worked in the early church. After the Lord Jesus had been crucified, buried, resurrected, he had spent some time with the disciples. He went back to heaven. And then what was started is what we call the church, kingdom on earth, and people beginning to believe in Jesus. And Peter, one day, he stood up and he preached the message. This is the same Peter who had earlier said at the crucifixion of Jesus, when Jesus was being judged, he said, I don't know him. But now all of a sudden, this one Peter's got some, Jesus restored him to the kingdom. And he says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this backward generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. They gladly received the word, and they give evidence in their life by being baptized. Those that gladly received that word. And it says that day there was about 3,000 souls added to the church. We read on a little further. Paul and Silas went to a place called Berea. I can't even say it, folks. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 17. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness. They gladly received the word. In this, when Peter was speaking. And now here in this next town, they received the word with readiness. They were ready to hear what God wanted them to hear. And this tells us they found out there was many of them that believed. And many of them who believed were the Greeks. And many of them who believed were prominent people within the city. You know, that's what is said of Jesus when he was born. This is hard to believe, folks. But it said of Jesus, he came unto his own, the Jewish people. And his own did not receive him. You realize, don't you, that the religious people of Jesus' day, they did not receive Jesus. From when they started hearing him talk, they were afraid their religion was headed to disaster. And they were trying to kill him. And it was the religious leaders that were behind the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own and he received him not. But now listen to what it says. But to those that received him, he gave the power or the right to become the children of God. Not to be a part of another religion. But he gave them the right to become the children of God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. It's that believing. He went on to say, even to those that believed in his name, And now we see it happen in that early church, that many people are responding to the message, and the seed is being received gladly, and the seed is being received readily. They want to know what the Bible has to say and what the Lord Jesus had to say. And that's pretty special, folks. I say that's pretty special because, you know, what we really got to do, according to the book of James, we got to get rid of some of this evilness in our lives. We got to get rid of some of these ideas that we have. And we got to listen to the Word of God. And God is saying to us in His Word, He wants us to realize that He's given us the privilege to follow Him. And in following Him, that seed begins to grow. And I got to tell you, folks, that's wonderful in your life when that seed begins to grow. You get thinking that is different than the world society offers. Have you ever watched some of the commercials on TV? I got to tell you, folks, the world is reaching out and saying to us all kinds of things that is not true. And we need to know, we need to hear what God has to say to us. We need to have some of the things that God gives us in His Word to help us understand why we're going through so many difficulties and why we need Him. And as a result of that, I got a song that I want us to listen to. And this song is done a little differently too, because every now and then KN finds one that there's no music. Just their voices become the music. And the main thing you're going to hear through this song is this idea of obey Him. Just obey the Lord Jesus. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And just obey Him. So we'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back and share with you the message of God, the message that God has for us. And we trust that God will.
How can I show you?
Here we go.
I obey Him. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey Him. How can I show Him love? I obey Him. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey Him. For He did not write these words for me just to read. He calls me to obey. So by faith I trust in You, as I do what You say. Not by my might, but Yours. How can I show Him love? I obey Him. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey Him. How can I show Him love? I obey Him. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey Him. Now my hope is set on You. My gaze is fixed and straight. I'm looking up to You. Then You take my hand and say,
my son, walk this way.
Not by your strength, but mine. Lord, I truly thank You for Your mercy in my life. By Your grace, I'll live eternally in Your care. Hey, yeah. So much more to live in now.
How can I show him love? I obey him. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey him. How can I show him love?
Him love.
I obey him. Bum, 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 bum. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey him. How can I show him love? Yeah, yeah. Obey him. Whoa, whoa. How can I show the one from above my love? Obey him.
Whoa. How can I show him love?
How can I show the one that I love is by obeying him. I gotta tell you folks, that song just gives us the one word. How can you show God that you love him? By obeying him. How can you show other people that you love God? By obeying him. How can you show yourself that you love God? And it goes right back to it. By obeying God. Knowing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. It is taught all the way through the Bible. It is not good just to know these things, but to do these things. And God is wanting us to know that this good soil of your life and the good soil of my life is able to obey God and receive the seed with gladness and receive the seed with readiness and be able to produce a harvest. I got to tell you, folks, I believe in my life, I know there's some bedrock soil, some things where I just don't believe strong enough. It's just a little layer of soil. It'll never be rooted. I need to do better than that. I know there's stony things in my life that we need to have a rock party and get rid of the stones. I know there's weedy things in my life, some weeds that's been allowed to grow, and we need to get rid of those weeds so I don't choke out the seed. But I also know that in my life, and I believe in your life, there's some good soil that is ready to receive the Word of God. It is not only ready to receive the Word of God, you're glad that you receive the Word. You want to know what God has to say. And I think this is one of the reasons why he tells us what the seed did is that on the good ground, it yielded a crop. It's that all of a sudden this seed sprang up. But it not only sprang up, it increased and it produced. On the bedrock soil, the seed grew fast. But when the heat came, it died fast. God is saying, what happened to this seed in your life, which is the good part of the soil of your life? The seed sprang up. There's life. I love to see that. I love to see the cornfields as they begin to grow. When all of a sudden, because of the corn getting about 2 inches or 3 inches high, you can see the rows of the corn. You realize it sprang up. But then it increased, and the corn's going to be knee-high by the 4th of July. And then it produced. It produced what the corn's supposed to produce. And you and I need to see that's what God is looking for in each of our lives. According to the Word of God, I think what has to happen is that God wants this Word to be in your individual life. We all are a part of the good soil. And God wants that good soil to be a part of our individual life. I want to share a story that was a part of my life when I was probably around 20, 22, somewhere in there. A gentleman knew that we liked asparagus, and he gave us some asparagus, but then he told me he gave us some asparagus roots, and he told me to plant them. Now, this is what he told me, folks. He said, Ken, you got to dig a trench and dig it about 12 to 15 inches deep and then put the asparagus roots with the roots down and the asparagus crown up and then cover it up. So I did exactly what he told me to do. I dug the trench about 12, 15 inches deep, put the roots the way they were down, and the crown was up, and I filled the trench with dirt. Then I said to him sometime later, that stuff never came up. He said, well, what did you do? It always grows for me, he said. So I told him I took the exactly what I did, and then he looked at me and he started to laugh. He said, you didn't plant that, those asparagus roots. You buried those asparagus roots. He said, what you're supposed to do is just put enough dirt over them to cover the roots and leave that little part of the crown sticking up above the ground. And then as it grew a little bit, you added more dirt. And as it grew some more, you added more dirt. What you did was bury them, and they've died down there in the earth. You know, folks, every seed has a way it's supposed to be planted, and every seed has a depth it's supposed to be planted in. But I love what God gives us, how we can receive the word of God gladly. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 11, a portion of scripture that I have really enjoyed. Your word, God, was saying to God, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love the idea of hiding the word of God in your heart because it becomes a part of you. And all of a sudden you're tempted to do something that would not be right to do. And that word of God can come back and remind you of what God's word has to say. I love it in Psalm number 1, in verses 2 and 3, where he said, you don't get involved in all the naughtiness of the world. You don't get involved in talking about people in a bad way. Rather, he said, delight yourself in the teachings of the Lord. Let the main thing be in your life that you love the teachings of the Lord and reflect upon his teaching day and night. If you do that, he says, you'll be like a tree planted beside the streams, a tree that produces fruit in its season and whose leaves do not wither. He succeeds, this tree succeeds in everything it does. God said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to be successful in what you're doing. God's not out to hurt us or to harm us. He wants us to be successful. I came across a reading by Jim Downing. I don't know who he is, but he mentioned this, and I kind of like it. Reflecting on teachings, on God's teaching night and day. Might ask yourself, but how does a person meditate night and day? One obvious way would be you stay awake for 24 hours. But that, who's able to do that? However, there is a less strenuous way to accomplish this. Have you ever awakened in the night feeling rigid and tense? Have you ever gone to bed with a problem on your mind and wakened in the morning exhausted as though you worked in the problem all night? Have you ever noticed that your last thought of the day is usually the first thought of the new morning? You know what the encouragement from him and the encouragement from me would be? Meditate on God's word. Let it be the last thing you do at night is to think about one portion of God's word and to dwell upon it. To meditate means kind of like the cows used to do with the chewing of the cud. They just keep chewing it. Just keep thinking about that word of God. And you know what he's saying? Maybe the next morning you'll find out. You're thinking about the same thing that you thought about when you went to bed. And it's not a problem. It's one of the promises of God's word. Now, I encourage you to try it. Don't knock it until you try it, so to speak, you know. Tonight, as evening time comes, you get ready to go to bed. Get yourself a promise from God's word, such as, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'm with you every day. That you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You can claim a promise like that from God's word and just see about how you wake in the morning. If it isn't going to be better than thinking about some problem you're dealing with in your life. You know that word sprang up and it increased. And it produced a crop, a harvest. And it goes on to say some of it was 30, some of it was 60, and some of it was 100. It was 30 times the amount of seed that was produced. That's a pretty good increase, don't you think? 30% increase. Some of it was 60% increase, and some of it was 100% increase. 100 times what was planted. Boy, I got to tell you, that was pretty special. And the crop made the seed sower happy. That's what he wanted. That's why he sowed the seed. He didn't sow the seed just for the fun of it. He sowed the seed to see it grow. I love that God's seed is the word of God. And he tells us about God's seed in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. For the wisdom from above, that's God's word from above, through the written promises in the Bible and through the Lord Jesus himself, as he came from above to planet Earth. He says, this word of God is first peaceable. It's gentle. It's friendly. It's full of compassion. And it produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice. It is free from hypocrisy. And goodness is the harvest that it produces from the seeds. The peacemaker planted in peace. God's saying something about his word. I got to tell you, folks, God's word reflects God. It reflects the nature of God. It reflects the attributes of God. It's pure. His wisdom is pure. It's freedom from all evil motives. This wisdom is peaceable. God's trying to bring some peace into your life. James spoke of this wisdom a little later, but he said, if you are bitter and jealous and filled with self-centered ambition, don't brag about that. Don't say that you're wise when it isn't true. The kingdom of wisdom doesn't come from above. It belongs to this world. And it's self-centered and it's demonic. It's demon-controlled. God is saying, you know what? If you just get the thinkings of the world, it isn't going to be a lot of arguments. Have you noticed? all the evil thinking of the world, people shooting one another, all the evil things there is in thinking of political things, we need to realize that God is reminding us that he says, you need something different in your life. You need something to overcome all of that evil that is not only in the world, it will soon be in you. So he's saying, what I want you to do is this wisdom from above is gentle. I love the Lord Jesus when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me. I am gentle and I am humble. God is reminding us. He wants that to be a part of your life. You know, he tells us the word is friendly. And you know what I think of friendly? I think of flexible. This word of God can go into the heart of the man that is the most evil man there ever was and change him. We find that true in the Bible. We find that true in people's lives. It produces a harvest of good deeds. It can take a person who is selfish and just living for himself and everything he does is just for himself. And it can make him reach out and touch the lives of others. I believe that is the one thing we have learned through COVID-19 is how people want to reach out to one another. I think that this, when I read about the Word of God and the description that it gives us in the book of James, you know what I do? I think right away of Jesus. I think that sounds like Jesus. Can I do it? Jesus was pure. Jesus didn't have any evil motives. He was peaceable. Not only was he peaceable, but he was gentle in his persuasion. This wisdom of God was friendly. He reached out to the leper, and he reached out to the woman that had messed up her life in many different ways. God is saying to you and I, that he wants us to realize what God's purpose is for us is to make us become a peacemaker, sharing the message of God that he has given to us so that it can become a peacemaker and help other people. I love what it says in 1 John when it says this, dearly beloved, or dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be as what we will be has not been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this kind of hope purifies themselves before the Lord. Gives us a reason to realize that we want to get rid of much of the evil way of thinking that is possible. Because that evilness is inside of us. And some of us, all the seed that's been sown is kind of make us want to be more like the world instead of like the Lord Jesus. So as I wrap up my time together today, I got a couple more thoughts I want to share with you. Because God told another parable. And he told us that this parable is one that is kind of helps us to see what takes place. I mentioned that this is a process. This growing thing is a process. You know, as we grow as babies, it's a process. You're not all of a sudden born. I got to tell you, though, we got a new little great-grandson. And I got to tell you, he's going to be a pretty good-sized boy. He hasn't stayed a baby very long. He's still a baby. But, man, he is growing. And you know when you meet some of them that you haven't met for a little while, and all of a sudden you say, man, the growing process, They're already ready to graduate from high school, or they're already in the sixth grade, or whatever it is. Growing is a process. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who scatters some seeds on the ground. He sleeps at night, is awake during the day. The seeds sprout and grow, although the man doesn't know how. The ground produces grain by itself, and this is the way it works. First, as a green blade appears, and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. As soon as the grain is ready, that farmer cuts that down with his sickle, because harvest time has come. Do you realize what God is saying? He's saying this is a process. It don't happen overnight. When you let the word of God get into your lives, when you receive it gladly, when you receive it with readiness, he said it's going to take some time before it takes over your thinking and causes you to think the way God would want you to think instead of the way the world thinks. So he says, first is just this little evidence of growth. And then all of a sudden you see, hey, it's getting bigger, like I mentioned, the corn seed. And all of a sudden it's going through the process of producing a crop. And all of a sudden it's harvest time. And that's pretty special. And you know, the Lord Jesus even spoke about that for his life. One day he started telling the disciples that he was going to die. Disciples thought he was going to put together the kingdom and they're going to help him rule the world there at that time. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man is to be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. A seed is just a seed. It remains alone. I say unto you, he says, that seed needs to die. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Jesus said, the wheat seed, I'm thinking about a corn seed. When I go back to that corn, I wanted to, because I use that a lot in funerals, I wanted to figure out, how does this corn seed work? So I went to a college in Washington. I didn't go only by line, you know. And I looked up the idea of the process of a corn seed. And the farmer plants it. And then it grows. And as it grows, it gets bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, when the farmer harvests it, it ends up being a seed. That one seed has produced an ear of corn. And in that ear of corn, there's from 600 to 800 kernels, just like the farmer planted. I'm here to tell you that something is special. And God is saying to you and I as we close the service today, you know what he wants us to do? He wants us just to believe him, just to believe that what he says. So we hear that many times in this song. But maybe, see if it's going to go next time. Here we go.
Have you ever wondered what it must have been like to be Noah? Building a boat in the desert long before it ever rained. Or can you imagine how it must have felt to be walking in circles with Jericho there before you? With walls standing in the way. How do ordinary people do extraordinary things? Just believe God will make a way. Believe, then take a step of faith. Like an impossibility. just believe. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. Imagine being stuck in a boat in stormy weather like Peter. Stepping out on the water, no matter about the wind and waves. What it must have been like to be Mary and Martha, standing at the grave of their brother while the stone was rolled away.
Possibility.